Where do you plan to go when you die? Maybe you're thinking, heaven, of course. Well, how do you plan to get there? On what grounds? Unless you know Jesus Christ, you had better not plan on it. Our Lord declared in John 8, verse 45, "And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not." Since his listeners were unbelievers, they were naturally opposed to Christ and the truth. What a sorrowful tragedy. They had the Son of God in their presence, but they refused to believe him. To further evidence his stand for the truth, Christ asked two questions in John 8, verse 46, which no one in his audience could answer. "Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me?" Now, convinceth means to convict. Since those with whom our Lord was speaking rejected him as a teacher of truth, surely they must have thought he was guilty of some evil. Thus he boldly asked, "Which of you convicteth me of sin?" If Christ were a deceiver, then it would follow that what he taught was error. There was no response to our Lord's question regarding sin. He is the only one in the history of civilization who could truthfully say, "I have no sin." Since the source was sinless, what he taught had to be truth. "And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me?" Jesus said. Christ reminded his hearers again that they were children of the devil. For had they been children of God, their response to the truth would have been favorable. "He that is of God heareth God's word," we read, verse 47. "Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God." Now this verse provides clear insight as to why so many people have such little concern for the word of God. Like the Jews to whom Christ was speaking, they have never really met God himself. Consequently, they will have no interest in what he says. If a man loves God with all his heart, and if he knows the Lord through personal experience, you may be sure that he will love and respect the truth God has spoken. David exclaimed in Psalm 119, verse 97, "Oh, how love I thy law! It is my meditation all the day." Prior to that, he had declared in Psalm 116, verse 1, "I love the Lord." The Jews became more and more incensed. What Jesus had just said should have silenced them, but they were not willing to give up. Unable to answer his questions, they threw names at him, a sign of certain defeat. In verse 48 we read, "Then answered the Jews, and said unto him, Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan, and hast a devil?" The Samaritans were despised by the Jews. Thus they were using a term of reproach and contempt. Further, they accused Christ of being demon-possessed. The word devil is used in this verse is really the word for demon. Christ answered them in verse 49, "I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me." He ignored being called a Samaritan, but to their other accusation he replied that he honored God the Father, which a demon could never do. In all that Christ said or did, he gave due respect and glory to the Father. It was as if he said, "I seek not mine own glory," adding, "There is one that seeketh and judgeth." The Father, the true judge, sought the glory of the Son. Jesus, in clear and certain terms, stated, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death." This, of course, does not mean physical death. Christians die as well as the unsaved, though a Christian's death is far different from that of the unbeliever. The sting of death has been removed for the child of God. But our Lord's reference here is to the second death that comes most surely to all who refuse to believe on Christ. It is the death spoken of in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death." It is the death that continues throughout all eternity for the unbeliever, following his physical death. It is to be eternally separated from God and to live forever in the horrors of hell. Our Lord's hearers refused to receive Christ's statement. In fact, they became even more severe in their criticism, stating, "Now we know that thou hast the devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. It is obvious from their misstatement of Christ's words that they had interpreted them in the light of the physical rather than the spiritual. Christ had said, he shall never see death. The Jews said, he shall never taste of death. How blind the unbelieving mind is to the truth. The critics in our Lord's audience claimed that the father of the Jews, Abraham, was dead. Likewise, all the prophets die. Thus, according to them, Christ's teaching was ridiculous. Two questions were thrust at our Lord. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? For the moment, our Lord ignored the first question, but in answer to the second, he said, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. The Son never honored himself. He came to glorify the Father. The one these Jews professed to love was the one who glorified Christ. If they truly loved God, they should have loved Christ. But declaring their hypocrisy, Jesus said, ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say, I know him not, I shall be a liar like you, but I know him and keep his saying. Had the Jews kept his saying, they would have received the words of Christ and believed on him. The Lord Jesus then answered their other question, art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead? Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Like all the Old Testament prophets, Abraham saw the Lord Jesus through the eye of faith. Abraham must have seen the day of Christ in the substitutionary sacrifice God provided to deliver his son Isaac. As Abraham looked for Christ's day, he was glad. The Jews were shocked at our Lord's statement. Quickly they replied, thou art not yet 50 years old. Hast thou seen Abraham? It is believed that Jesus was about 33 years of age at this time. Not yet 50 suggests that Jesus must have looked much older than he actually was. Doubtless the trials and severe testings which he had experienced gave him this appearance. Perhaps you have noticed how careless the Jews were in listening to what Christ had to say. Could it have been that they were so angry that it was difficult for them to hear? Christ had not said that he had seen Abraham. Rather, it was just the opposite. Christ had said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. You see, when one is angry, he is usually unreasonable. Well, in verse 58, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Here, clearly and distinctly, our Lord speaks of his preexistence. Our Lord was more than a man. He was the eternal Messiah, of whom the prophet Micah had written in Micah 5:2, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is never I was, but always I am. What consolation this provides for those who are called to drink of the bitter waters. Our Lord is always near to help. He understands our calamities because he lives in the present. We weep and worry. We wish we could be delivered from our present sufferings. But listen, never forget it. He is with us, and in his own time, he will provide deliverance. The Jews became more incensed than ever. Then took they up stones to cast at him, but they could not harm him. Jesus hid himself, and he went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. His hour had not come. No man could touch Jesus Christ until the divine appointment permitted. When the hour came, then Jesus went to the cross and died for your sins and for mine. We put him on the cross. Our sins nailed him there. And so I want you to realize today, the grace of God is sufficient for all your sin. And if you claim Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, you can be completely forgiven from sin. The Jews to whom he spoke had hard hearts. They refused to believe. Maybe you have a hard heart. God can soften that heart. But don't wait any longer. Let God work in your life. Take Jesus as your Savior and Lord and enter in to the eternal joy of salvation through Christ. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll work in lives today. May the Holy Spirit convict of sin. We get so caught up in ourselves and what we are doing that we forget the really important things in life. Help some, Father, who need an experience with Christ to turn to him right now and claim him as Lord of all. I pray this in his blessed name and for his sake. Amen.